Thanks, everybody, for your patience, and welcome to our introductory press conference for our new head women's basketball coach here at Garden City Community College. Before we get started, there's obviously a lot of people that I'd like to thank, because this job and these hires aren't possible without the help of a lot of people. So obviously our college president, Dr. Ryan Ruta, who's sitting to my right, our vice presidents, Colin Lamb, Carla Armstrong, and Mark Malone, our board of trustees, we have several of them in attendance today, our Bronxbuster Athletic Association, we have our president, Maxine Atkinson, here, and obviously the hiring committee, because they absolutely nailed this one. So we appreciate everything and appreciate the resources. I'd like to thank Coach Scales for the job that he did, and congratulations to him on his new position over at Wichita State. So, you know, when we're looking for a women's basketball coach, or any coach in general, there's obviously things that we're looking for, and really it's no different with any position. So we wanted somebody who was student-centered, somebody who was a great leader, experience at the highest level, and obviously a winner, right? Because I'd be lying to you if I said we don't care about that. We do. That's one thing Garden City takes pride in. So the guy sitting to my right epitomizes all four of those components and then some. So he was at Chipola. They were the 2015 national champions. He was the coach of the year in 2015, the national coach of the year. He took Chipola to six NJCAA national tournaments. They reached the Final Four three times. He won 258 games at Chipola. He's had several players drafted into the WNBA, and he's had even more players play at the Power 5 level. So without further ado, and we're very excited to have him here, let's welcome our new head women's basketball coach at Garden City Community College, Mr. Greg Franklin.
I think one of the things they said to me first when I got here is they and I don't smell it right now. I don't smell the money. But last night I smelled it really good. You know, but I said to my wife last night, I said, you know, Mike's probably could get us a whole set of uniforms for the whole athletic department, as strong as that smell is right now. But yes, you know, I know you guys don't know a lot about me, but I just wanted to come on here and tell you just a little bit where I'm from, what we stand for. Yeah, but first, I really would like to thank two important people in my life that I base everything upon. That's my Lord and Jesus Savior, and also my wife. She sacrificed a lot to be here. She's my best friend. She rooted up and came with me. You know, we were looking for a suit last night. I told these guys, I said, you know what, I'm not real sure I got a suit. You know, pull over, be fine. So she and I were digging through all the boxes, and we found this one. And she said, oh, there it is, baby. I said, oh, that's my skinny suit right there. But, you know, she always tells me this, too. She keeps me grounded. She says, you know, G, said, my house over here, it looks like it's pristine and proper, and we've got, you know, white picket fences, and, you know, we've got a nice place to sit out and rocking chairs and everything else. But we look across, and there's your home, and it's like an old abandoned building, and it's got police tape around it, and there's all these dark clouds that I think I brought with me to get you guys some rain. You're welcome. But, you know, proceed with caution going in there. And I said, well, baby, I said, you know what? That's what Suite 11 looks like right now. So we're happy to be here, you know, and I just want to thank a few people along the way right here. The man sitting right next to me, Dr. Ruta, our president, thank you so much for believing in me and to give me an opportunity. Colin Lamb, jack of all trades on this campus, I guess, our vice president of student services. Our athletic director, Mike Pilosoff. I think I got that right, didn't I?
I nailed it.
I can spell it actually now. And then also our CFO, Carla Armstrong, for all the support she's given us financially and believing in my vision to take us to be a nationally powerhouse. And that's what we really want. And I can feel that amongst everyone in this room. And when I've spoken to everyone, you know, other than being quizzed on what our real colors are, you know, and I know them, Seal Brown, Collegiate Gold. I got it right, didn't I? Yeah. But, you know, I feel that enthusiasm. I'll give you a little story. You know, I was visiting my brother, and this is when I first heard about the job at Garden City being open because I was visiting with him because I was going to a couple of the other different places for interviews, and it was coming up pretty quick. So I walk in the gym. He's working his team out. He's at Vincennes University. He's been a head coach, national championship, one of my mentors. He said, you need to call this guy back. And I said, who? He said, he's a good dude. And I went, oh, wow. You're giving somebody a compliment. This guy's got to be a really good guy. And it was Rusty. He and Todd worked together for a year. He said, call him back. I said, all right, cool. So I called Rusty back. And I could hear in his voice, too, you know, his enthusiasm, his experience here and how positive it's been for him. And he said, I'm going to have somebody else call you back, maybe our vice president, maybe our athletic director. So my brother, after we had workouts and I was helping him, I go to Walmart to do little brother things, you know, pick up everything. He's told me what to do. So I'm in there and I'm getting distracted because Collins called me, and now it's all that, you know, I'm going, okay, all right, yeah. So I miss about four or five things going home. He chews me out like a big brother does. So later on that night, Mike calls me, and Mike doesn't even know this. Todd and I, my brother, we were sitting there watching the NBA playoffs. And I put Mike on speakerphone. I was asking questions and everything else because I just wanted Todd to hear it as well. I got off the phone, and I told Mike, I said, I'm 99.9% sure in the morning I can give you a good answer because I always, family's first with us Franklins, actually God, family, you know, basketball and then food. But I said, I got to call my wife. I told Mike, and then I got off the phone, and he was listening to Mike talk. And I turned to him and said, what do you think? He goes, dude, you'd be a fool. What are you waiting for? Do it. So it doesn't sound like anything better than that. And I had some pretty good lineups, some pretty good situations, but the energy that came from these guys was just, you know, it was a force. And I wanted to be a part of that because I'd had that leadership before, and I know what it's going to take to get to where we want to get as an institution in terms of the athletics and things like that. And these guys brought it. They brought it. Next morning, it was a no-brainer. I said, Mike, yes. He said, can you do a Zoom? I said, sure. I said, let's get it done. No problem. But I do appreciate, and that's one reason I am sitting here today, because of the passion, the vision that I think that this whole administration has. And I think we're going to get some special things done. It's going to take some time, but we'll get some special things done. I know that. You know, I grew up in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky, Western Kentucky. Coal mining, my whole family are coal miners. That, dairy farmers, and tobacco, you know, and soy and things like that, corn. I can remember growing up and doing straw and hay and baling in the summer for my cousins, and, you know, hanging tobacco and being in that barn at 132 degrees up there. And I said, I'm doing something that's got some climate control. When I grow up, trust me, it's not going to happen. And I would hear all the horror stories about coal miners and things like that. So I knew I was going to be a basketball coach when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and we were having, I guess you say it's just a bitty basketball, upward basketball. My dad kind of started it all in our little hometown. And he came home with a list of kids, and he said, who do you think? And I said, well, I said, this one, this one, this one, this one. And my brother in his age group, this one, this one, this one. We proceeded to win about 6 years in a row and didn't lose a game. But a lot of those players were kids that I grew up with playing at one park in the morning, another park in the afternoon, and I knew all of them. But some of those kids were kids that needed help. And, you know, my dad would tell me, he said, hey, we all don't have just a pearl of a life. He said, some kids need us. Some of us need us. And he did that for a lot of players. And I can remember, you know, living in that town, Central City High School, we were the second winningest high school of all time in existence when they consolidated. Now, that took a family. It took a whole village to make that happen. Now, they consolidated. But after that, you know, there was probably 20-some-odd years straight where they had Division I guards come out of there and they were winning, and I give my dad a lot of credit to that. I give my mom a lot of credit to the fact that, you know what, she was relentless. She didn't have a college education, but she wound up being part owner, CEO, however you want to say it, of a company that made patents and sawmills, and she sold them all over the world globally. And you know, it was a time during the 70s when that was, it was starting to be tough without a college education, but she was relentless, relentless. And she taught me how to handle people too. Now I watched her fire people. she didn't mind that. Now she was tough. And that's something I got from both of them, knowing how to win. As I got older, you know, playing through college and things like that, it was obvious, evident that I didn't want to do coal mining. I didn't want to do any kind of farming, which those are both legit, not hobbies, man. Those are jobs. Those are full time in the morning, in the afternoon, all the way. Those are real jobs, hard labor, and I commend anybody that does those jobs. But I knew I wanted to be a coach, and it took me to my first job where I was a high school coach. Then I went on and went from having a pretty good job coaching high school until I left that job, was going to make $2,700 being a college assistant for my brother, and substitute taught and paid for this and that to be able to just make a living. And a lot of times people don't understand coaches, it's feast or famine a lot of times, and you've got to put yourself through it to get there. Which led me to an athletic director's job there, and then finally I took a job at Mississippi State, and then I went to Chipola, and we've had some really good success, really good success. Now I know you guys want to know, you know, what style of basketball, what we do. I think it depends on, coming from the high school perspective, it depends on what kind of talent we can come up with. You have to adjust, and that's one thing I learned in high school all the way through. You know, I guess when I was a 35-year-old or early 30s, I was very serious with the girls, and didn't have a lot of fun. Didn't take a step back and just, you know, I coached guys too for 10 years. I didn't have a lot of fun with them because I was always keeping that wall up, not letting them see who I am, and not letting them get a good understanding from me. And I guess the biggest thing was that when I got a little older, I understood the best way to go about this is have them know that I love them. And that's the biggest thing. A lot of coaches, I think, I'm lucky I got mentored by several really good coaches. A lot of coaches miss that nowadays. They want to blame what's going on in society and say that kids are, you know, this way or they're that way. No, kids are how we make them. They want accountability. Now they have to be talked to a certain way, and they have to know that you love them, and they want to know how much you care about them before they want to know how much you know. That's a great, great saying. You hear that a lot of times with anything. But that's the crux of what I'm going to do here and what my assistants are going to do here, and I'll introduce them in just a second. But love, it's all about love. Now, it's about tough love. You'll see that. And our kids are going to be accountable. And they're going to make sure when they put that Garden City jersey on, or when they're walking out into the public, that they're going to represent. They're going to represent the right way with respect, and they're going to respect people. I'm not a guy that if I'm going to walk here and they're going to have to say yes sir, no sir. They're going to say yes and no and enunciate. If you hear anything different coming from my children, trust me, you come tell me. We'll have some problems. And they better respect everybody in this room, because guess what? You respect them. You're here. And I think the world of that. But I want you to understand, when they put that jersey on, they're going to play with passion, pride. First thing, I'm going to tell them what our colors are. First thing. But, you know, some things that, you know, you just can't. Just stop and smell the roses sometime and have a good time with them. One of my first things I ever had happen, when I had practice one day, coaching girls, women. I had two girls from Eastern Kentucky, and it was on one of my first teams, and they were sisters. And I've told Colin this story, and I think I've told Mike this story. And it kind of encapsulates everything that you think about coaching and relationships and everything else, and how much they really follow you, how much they really listen to you. And you need to understand that, is that One of the girls turned her ankle, and I said, you know, at the time you're trying to be tough, and you said, well, just rub some dirt on it, get up, it'll be fine, rub some dirt on it. Well, about 9:30 that night, I get a phone call. I said, Coach, hey, when you're rubbing dirt on that, do you put some water on that? I said, absolutely. Next day she walks in, they thought that she was healed. It was some kind of magic thing or something. I said, you guys must have went down and got some of that Georgia red clay or something. But that kind of encompasses everything about me. You know, I come from a meager background and had to fight for everything I want. And I expect my kids to do that as well. For you guys, to represent you guys. My assistant coaches, I think all of you know, Coach Zinn, he was here last year. He's been with a few guys that I know he's coached with, and he comes with a stellar recommendation in terms of the knowledge and things that he knows. And then the other one is Raven Northcross Baker, that actually played for me at Chipola, played on an excellent team, then she went on and played at the University of Arkansas. I don't think I've ever had a kid try as hard to be great as she did, and she wound up being great. Changing her body, changing her mentality. My expectations for this staff are extremely high. But we've signed some really good players. You know, we're still looking, to be honest with you. Just getting them here and seeing the whites of their eyes, that'll change everything. And, you know, obviously I knew you guys would figure out I'm from the South, so just listening to me. But I just, you know, if I ever start talking to you and individually, if you don't understand what I'm saying, just stop me, and I'll try to enunciate a little bit better. But I know this, when I went to the restaurant, I think it might have been the first day I was here, we went out to Old Chicago, and I started to give my order, and the girl looked at me and she said, "You're not from around here, are you?" I said, "What gave it away?" But if anybody has any questions for me or want to ask me anything, please do. I want our program to be an open book.
We have a microphone too for anybody that will ask questions.
As far as players from last year's program, are you bringing any of those back or for last year's team this year?
We are. Sydney Scruggs. And then we have another young lady from Kansas City, Stevie Yancey, that's coming back as well. They'll be the only two that we'll have back. And, you know, both those kids are 4.0 students, or really high character kids, which I got to know. And I wanted to get to know some of those players. And they were my type of kids. So, yes, we have two of them coming back.
And with being the Jayhawk Conference, it's well known as one of the toughest conferences in the country. How does that maybe compare to where you were at before at Chipola?
Well, you know, I think that, and I'm telling you, I think there's three leagues that really compete for at the national level, and that's Kansas and Texas, not both Texas League, one Texas League. And then there's one league in Florida, the Panhandle Conference, which has won 6 of the last 8 national championships in women's basketball. We had one of those. We were close on several. You know, I tell this story all the time. When we played the national championship game, we played Hutch. We beat them then and plan on beating them again. But that being said, we had to bank in a couple 3-pointers and had some luck, which, you know, it could have gone either way. But ultimately, you know, I respect the Jayhawk Conference. I know how tough it is, and I've seen representation from this league in the national tournament every year. So I know how tough it's going to be, absolutely.
And one other question here. I know it's not a very big non-conference schedule normally in Jayhawk Conference. How do you, or being in the Jayhawk Conference, what's kind of your philosophy on non-conference games?
Well, I've gotten in here just a little late. And we've already had some games scheduled, and we had scheduled a couple of different games. We're going up to Otero, which one of my former assistants is the head coach there. But Otero, New Mexico, South Plains, Trinity, there's several schools that are trying to figure out a neutral spot, neutral site to try to have a tournament or a classic where we can have, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 games. Which we don't have. We only have 6 games that we have non-conference. So I want to play against some of the best teams I can possibly play in going into the league to get us prepared. That would be my idea.
Coach, just a quick question. what's your academic plan for your student athletes? Bringing them in, obviously you guys want to win on the floor, but in the classroom, how do you prepare them to either move on to a four-year or just advance themselves academically?
You know, 11 years at Chipola, we had 100% graduation rate. There's a recipe for that, you know, and it's hard work, it's support, but also you have to utilize that support. You know, a lot of times I look at our players and I say, you know, don't let me use you, you use us. I mean, we have all the resources in the world to make them successful. We have tutors, we're gonna have study halls. And if a kid doesn't want to do it, you know what? They're probably not going to last here very long. Probably after the first test or they miss their first couple classes, they're not going to last here very long. Now, I know things happen, but the recipe is hard work, going to class, doing your work, being respectful. You know, I love basketball, and they love basketball, and that's part of the reason why they're here. But you know what? That math teacher loves math. And you better get to know that math teacher, because that's not just a hobby to them, that's a passion. And you better know their name. You better understand that, yes, this is very serious, and they love this. But they also love you. What they don't love is laziness. That's a nasty word. I hate that word, and I shouldn't say hate that. I hate saying that word. But yeah, there's a good recipe for being able to graduate players. It's giving them the opportunity, giving them the resources, and trying to force feed them. But you know what? You know what they say in Kentucky? You can lead them to water, and you can salt them up real good, but sometimes they still won't drink. So.